After it's 6 minutes, what happens afterwards? Brain dead. Shall we pray? Father in heaven, I come before you as your manservant. Remove from me, Father, all foolishness, and loosen my tongue to speak to your people in Jesus' name. Amen. Turn in your Bibles to Luke 6. Verse 12. And it came to pass in those days that he went out into a mountain to pray and continued all night in prayer to God. All night. And you know, the pastor had laid the foundation. I don't know if you've know about building. And Jesus says in his word, if you keep my sayings, you'd be like the wise man that built his house upon a rock. Jesus says. Two men were praying. One was a Pharisee scribe, and one was a publican, a sinner. One had mentioned what he had done for God. He said, I pay tithes on everything that I possess. I fast twice a week. Everything with the precept of I. Before we come to God in prayer, we must first recognize our need. When you're hungry, do you feel a need? Certainly. When you're thirsty, do you feel a need? And I ask the Lord this week, you know, the woman at the well, she said, give me this living water that I need. And I ask God to just allow me to have a sip of this living water. Without prayer, we will never survive. Without prayer. I'm a recipient of prayer and I can testify to prayer. When I was so loaded on marijuana out of my mind, I thought, and all those friends sort of were around me and they said, wow, this is some good weed. And I looked at them and I said, how come I'm not getting high? If this is such a good weed. And I was impressed to see Brother Kojima on the North Shore. And I was compelled to go there. I couldn't get high, no matter how much weed I would smoke. To make a long story short, I went up there and Brother Kojima opened his arms and says, we haven't seen you in church for a long time. How are you doing? I said, not so good. He says, what can I do for you? I said, could you pray for me? And I brought my family with me. Because they didn't know what was going on. So we entered the house, and Brother Kojima said, let's all go in the living room and pray. While he was praying, I was compelled to stand up. My mouth would open, and I didn't recognize his voice. A voice that came in from within me and says, don't pray for me. Don't pray for me. And kept getting louder and louder. And I tried to shut myself up. I was possessed. But I never felt so much relief. Better than doing drugs. When that demon left me. And I had the peace that passed all understanding. I never forgot that. I'm a recipient of prayer, and every one of us are recipients. Turn to Matthew, the 6th chapter. Starting in verse 5, chapter 6. And when thou prayest, thou shalt not be as the hypocrites are, for they love to pray standing in the synagogue and in the corners of the streets, that they may be seen of men. Verily I say unto you, they have their reward. But thou, when thou prayest, enter into you thy closet. And when thou hast shut thy door, pray to the Father which is in secret. And thy Father seeth in secret, shall reward thee openly. How many of you spend time eating? Amen. Exercise. Reading the newspaper. Listen to your iPod. On a cell phone. Am I coming close to home? How many spend time talking to God? Amen. Think about it. You know, I had a brother that he's passed on. How many know Joe Rocha? A co-porter went to his house one time selling him Christian books, an Adventist co-porter. And he says, I got all these books about God. And he says, would you like to purchase one of these books? He says, yeah, but how much does it cost? Oh, not very much. So this co-porter had all his books laid out. And Joe reached out and picked up the thinnest book there was, Steps to Christ. Because it was the thinnest book, so he didn't want to read that much. Steps to Christ. It says here, prayer does not bring God down to us, but brings us up to Him. You know, we meditate and devote most of our time too much in the lower places of the earth. And one thing with the children of Israel, they needed deliverance from the land of Egypt. And right now, we're in Egypt. How many believe we're in Egypt? We're underneath the Pharaoh. And as we look around, how many are Seventh-day Adventists? The minority. But think of this. If you are with God, you're with the majority. Think about it. As the pastor read earlier, he says, the angels, they find it the highest joy. The highest joy to come in God's presence and commune with Him. And we, labeled as God's people, Christians, Seventh-day Adventist Christians, claim to have the truth. What are we doing with the truth? Are we sharing the truth? Are we sharing the truth? Verse 9 of Matthew 6, it says, after this manner, therefore, pray ye, our Father which art in where?
Heaven.
Heaven. Is heaven our goal? I remember Jonathan Kelly used to drive a bug before and he had a bumper sticker. This is a free trip to heaven. I don't know exactly how it goes. A heavenly trip. See you, Bible, for details. And it's true. Deliverance. And we're in the Red Sea. And who shall deliver us from this bondage that we're in? As Jesus goes on, says, hallowed be thy name. Now, I come from a Catholic background. And my grandmother used to have an altar and these crucifixes and statues of the Virgin Mary and light candles and everything. And we used to kneel down. And it was a painful experience for me because we had to say the rosary. And each bead we had to repeat. Like the heathens do, repeat. Does it say anything about healing Mary from the scripture? It says, our Father which art in heaven. In verse 10, is deliverance. Thy kingdom come. How many believe that Jesus will come?
Amen.
Thy will be done in the earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day. We pray for everything, right? We pray for traveling mercies. We pray when we open the Word of God. We pray at funerals. We pray at weddings. Even when we have a meal. We give thanks to God. But what about the unseen victories that we pass from day to day? The dangers. You know, today I got to admit, I just turned 6 old today. And you know, when I get up in the morning, I thank the Lord for the use of my limbs. I thank the Lord for a sound mind. My mind, my eyes are open. And I ask God that He make me a servant for Him. Jesus had 2 people that He had forgiven and healed. And one, to show His appreciation, made a feast to Him. His name was Simon. Who was Simon? He was a leprosy. And Marcus can vouch that leprosy is the most dreaded disease in that time. And Jesus had healed him. So to show His appreciation, He made a feast for Jesus. And during the course of the feast, there was this woman. She was the most talked about woman in Magdalene. Her name was Mary. And she came. And she did things to Jesus that none of His disciples had even thought of doing. To show an expression of her love with her tears, she washed Jesus' feet. With her hair, she wiped Jesus' feet. She labored for a whole year. I wouldn't want to mention her occupation, but she labored for a whole year. And with that income that she had, that whole year, She anointed Jesus. And though Simon had this dreaded leprosy disease and he was healed, he's still thinking, if he knew, if he was a prophet, he wouldn't let this woman touch him. She had the worst reputation in town. And Jesus could read. Jesus could read what? The heart. He says in Jeremiah 17:9, the heart is wicked. Maybe she turned to that. Jeremiah 17:9, just fast. I've been trouble finding Jeremiah 17:9. Would someone read it for me, please?
The heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it?
Who can know it? Can you know your own heart? Desperately wicked. Verse 10. Would you read that, John? The heart. The heart. Since we on Jeremiah, turn to the 13th chapter of Jeremiah. Verse 22. We have someone read that, please. Jeremiah 13, verse 22. Verse 23.
Can an Ethiopian change his skin, or the leopard his spots? Then may ye also do good that are accustomed to do evil.
We're accustomed to do evil. It's our nature. So we need prayer in our lives more than ever before. It's just like breathing. Stop breathing and you find out. Stop praying. And Steps of Christ says, I don't want to take it out of context. It says, the darkness of the evil one encloses those who neglect to pray. The whispered temptations of the enemy entice them to sin, the most deadly disease, as Marcus mentioned last Sabbath, to sin. And us, we have that privilege to call on God anytime. We could be in a busy street walking down. We can send up a petition to God. And the wisest man that asked, he prayed to God to give him wisdom. Solomon. Did God give him wisdom? Sure did. But his love for his heathen wives was greater than his love for God. Are you a recipient of prayer? Prayer can change things. You don't believe me? Turn to Acts, the 12th chapter. If you dare, say amen.
Amen.
The 12th chapter of Acts. Now about that time, Herod the king stretched forth his hands to vex certain of the church. And he killed James, the brother of John, with a sword. And because he saw that it pleased the Jews, he proceeded further to take Peter also. Then were the days of unleavened bread. And when he had apprehended him, he put him in prison and delivered him to four quadrants of soldiers to keep him, intending after Easter to bring him forth to the people. Now Peter was in prison. How many soldiers were that? He was 16. 16 soldiers. He says, impossible to get out of prison now. Verse 5. Peter therefore was kept in prison, but prayer was made without ceasing of the church unto God for him. Prayer was made without ceasing to God. And when Herod had brought him forth the same night, Peter was sleeping between two soldiers, bound with two chains, and the keepers before the door kept the prison. Now he was chained up. Where was he? And behold, the angel of the Lord came upon him, and a light shined in the prison. And he smote Peter on the side and raised him up, saying, arise quickly. And his chains fell off from his hands. No key. His chains fell off from his hands. And the angel said unto him, gird thyself and bind on thy sandals. And so he did. And he said unto him, cast thy garments about thee and follow me. And he went out and followed him. And it was not that it was true which was done by the angel, but thought he saw a vision. He still had makapiapia in his eyes, you see. And they were past first the second ward, first and second ward, and they came into the iron gate and led it to the city, which was open to them of its own accord. You have these garage doors, they have sensors, you know. That's how the gate opened. Now, this is indication where Peter was. Where was he? First, second. He was in the middle of the prison. In the middle. And Herod thought to himself, oh, this guy is never going to escape. And it says, and when Peter was come to himself, he said, now I know of a certainty that the Lord had sent his angels and had delivered me out of the hand of Herod and from all the expectations of the people of the Jews. Deliverance. Do we need prayer for deliverance? More so. Our minds have been exposed of this world too much. How many remember Paul Volz? He came to a church about a year ago to speak about health reform. And he says in Steps to Christ, what is the most thing that is offensive to God? People look at a drunkard and said, this man is a drunkard. This man is a druggie. He will never enter into the kingdom of God. But know that pride, covetousness, selfishness is more offensive to God than being a drunk. Think about it. The man that stood and prayed, I'm glad I'm not like this. This publican. I'm glad I'm not like other men. Think about it. I remember when Pastor Dixon first came to this church, and the first thing was on his agenda, he says, I'm a man of prayer. Remember that, Pastor Dixon? Above all else, I'm a man of prayer. I invite Pastor Dixon and his family to come up here in the congregation to kneel. The Lord will give him direction as we pray. We test the power of God. I invite the congregation to kneel if you're able. And Brother Dennis Greer, please come up here. Father in heaven, we call upon the name of Jesus. That you would bless our dear pastor, his wife and children. That you would give him direction, Father. Pour him out a blessing. There will be not room enough to receive. Pressed together and overflowing, Lord. Of your servant. For these things we pray and acknowledge you. Jesus Christ, our Savior and our Redeemer. The Lamb of God, which take away the sins of the world. In Jesus' precious name, we pray these things. Amen.
Heavenly Father, thank you for this opportunity again to be in your house of worship. We don't know what the future holds for us today, but we know all we have to do is depend on you for each and everything. Be with the pastor and his family and their future endeavors. Be with them and guide their footsteps. Heavenly Father, be with us as a church. Guide our footsteps that we will know the direction that you want us to go in. Thank you for this opportunity today. Be with his children. Guide their hands and his lovely wife. Guide their hands as they prepare for whatever you has in store for them today in our church. These blessings we ask. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
The Lord said, test me. Test me. This is a holy day. And the adversary knows this. That's why he bombards our thoughts of circular things. Our conversation. Even the things that we do. He's always there. The scripture says, in Revelation, he accuses the brethren how often? Day and night. Day and night, he accuses us. Day and night. I know I'm going to step on some toes if I read this, but I'm impressed to read it. From the book, Steps to Christ. Page 98. There is necessity for diligence in prayer. Let nothing hinder you. Make every effort to keep open the communion between Jesus and your own soul. Amen. Seek every opportunity to go where prayer is wont to be made. Those who are really seeking for communion with God will be seen in the prayer meeting, faithful to do their duty, and earnest and anxious to reap all the benefits they can gain. They will improve in every opportunity of placing themselves where they can receive the rays of light from heaven. Are you seeking that today? In closing, turn in Revelation. The fifth chapter. Starting on verse 7. And he came and took the book out of the right hand of him that sat upon the throne. Verse 8. And when he had taken the book, the four beasts and the 24 elders fell down before the Lamb, having one of them harps and golden vials full of odors, which are the prayers of the saints. Which are the prayers of the saints. Is it possible to be drunk on God's holy day? Think about it. And I'm guilty of it. I'm the first drunk. When the disciples came to Jesus, when he sent out them 70s, 2x2, to heal. And they came to one this individual, they couldn't cast out the demon. And they questioned Jesus, says, why is it so? And Jesus said, not all prayer situation is the same. But one has to be done by fasting and prayer. And sometimes, I wouldn't say sometimes, all the time that when I go in potluck, I indulge. And Jesus told his disciples when he was really in trials in the Garden of Gethsemane, he told them three times, to watch and to pray. To watch and to pray. Why? Lest you fall into temptation. Prayer is the only defense. And the adversary knows that. So he'll hinder you in every opportunity you try to pray. Shall we pray? Father in heaven, we have this great need to be with Jesus. And this is our hope. We're pilgrims. We're pilgrims journeying to way to heaven. The scientist spends millions of dollars set up a space station, satellites, and endeavor to know the region. And yet, by simple act of getting on our knees, we can visit heaven and be close to you. Help us to have your thoughts, Lord, on this holy day. For we pray in the name of Jesus, our Savior. Redeem us, O Lord, we pray these things. Amen.